If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Welcome back to the house, to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob. I serve the Lord here in Northern Illinois. This is podcast number 17, and it is December 27, 2014. Today we're going to do a roundup of some persecuted church news over the last few weeks. You know, we were doing persecuted Christians back in the first century, and we have them in the 21st century too. Every century has seen brutal oppression of Christians not all over the world, but in many hot spots in the world. There are at least, I believe, 53 countries where it is not too pleasant to be a believer. Are you having a pleasant time in your nation? I hope so, but many, at least a few who are listening to me right now, are not. Well, what I have today before me is some countries that are ministered to, in particular, by Brother Andrew's group. You remember Brother Andrew, I think, if you are more mature as myself in age. Brother Andrew, Open Doors, remember that one? Open Doors is still the name of a group that ministers to the persecuted church. I've received permission from them, as you can too, to broadcast their the different things that come up on their website. And I encourage you to go to their website. That's opendoors.org, and check out yourself the things that I'll be reading. And there's many other things on there. I also will be using something from Crossing Borders, a very local group for me here in Chicago that ministers in North Korea. Open Doors publishes yearly a list of the most difficult places for Christians to be. North Korea is number one on that list. We're going to look at North Korea and a few others. As we go down the list, I'll tell you what number those countries are. Let's start with Crossing Borders. They have a program called Second Wave, where they help children of North Korean refugee women who have been sold as forced brides to Chinese men. The population of these children is in the tens of thousands, according to experts. Many of the children born into these forced marriages are separated from their mothers, making them orphans, according to the United Nations description. Most of their mothers were captured by the Chinese police, sent back to North Korea, placed in concentration camps, and often never heard from again. For example, Jung, and we're changing names on probably all of these stories. 13-year-old boy that we've recently taken in. He's the son of a North Korean refugee woman who had been sold to his father. His mother was captured by the Chinese police and sent back to North Korea when he was young. His father works far away in another region in China. Jung's elderly grandmother is the only one able to take care of him, but she is so old that she needs help with basic chores around their home. So a neighborhood man comes to their home daily and helps. Jung is autistic. He attends a school in the region for special needs children. He plays well by himself and has a keen interest in electronics and computers. He does not engage in conversation with people, but understands what is said when he is spoken to, and he can read out loud. Jung was taken to church, and his church laid hands on him to pray for him. He didn't like this. But over time, he began to warm to the people there. Recently, he put his hand on a hymn book, and began to cry, and since that day, he enjoys being prayed for. There are ways you can help Crossing Borders, and I trust that you'll just Google them. I'm not going to give out all kinds of information on these places. I want you to find out yourself, but understand that I'm not collecting any money for them or promoting them, and they didn't even ask me to do this. But Crossing Borders is a truly worthy group for you to support. And then over to Open Doors, as I said. Their current story is also North Korea, about a Kim Tae-jin. Kim Tae-jin, this is a man, finds it difficult to talk. The contrast between his life in North Korea and his life now in Seoul is too great. The most difficult thing for me, he says quietly, is making decisions. Freedom of choice is unknown in North Korea. The party told us what to do. We were treated as a group, not as individuals, recalls Kim. As I got older, my doubts grew about the propaganda the government fed us. But with the hope of a better life, Kim fled to China. There he heard about Jesus for the first time when a Christian gave him a Bible. After 4 short months, Kim was arrested and repatriated back to North Korea, where he was sent to camp number 15, the dreaded Yodak labor camp. I was so very afraid. Even though I had not yet accepted Jesus, I prayed. In prison, they beat me with sticks. At night, with only a thin, torn blanket, I had to endure a plague of fleas and lice in my cold cell. Forced to wake up at 3 each morning, Kim's day was spent in hard labor. With so little food, he sometimes caught rats, snakes, or frogs to stay alive. I saw people dying of hunger and sickness, he says, with tears in his eyes. Anyone captured trying to escape was publicly executed. Prisoners were treated worse than cattle. One day, by chance, Kim met a Christian. I never expected to meet Christians in Yodak. The man was the leader of a group who called themselves the Community of Love. He invited Kim to confess his sins, but he refused, fearful that if discovered, he would be tortured. Kim quietly adds, one day an informant betrayed the group. I watched as they grabbed hold of my friend's arm so tightly that it died and had to be amputated. After that, he and the other Christians were sent to an even stricter camp. You don't get out of a camp like that alive. Kim's last day in Yodak was April 10, 1992. Escaping again from North Korea, he crossed the border into China, where he met a Christian. And it was here that he finally accepted his word, as truth, and was baptized. Today, Kim lives in South Korea. He uses every opportunity to talk about North Korea, especially about the Christians. My personal message is this: show an interest in my country. Pray for it. We need your support. Well, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't touch your heart, you are an untouchable. Kim Tae-jin, will you pray for Kim? He still lives. He's one of us. He's in South Korea. And you say, well, he's home free now. Well, not exactly. In South Korea, there's some prejudice, and you can understand it. Many times people who come over into South Korea are North Korean spies. They're released by North Korea to do that very thing. And so it's hard to trust these people you don't know. Plus, they've grown up differently, they even speak differently, and they are rejected by a great number of South Koreans. And so this man is having a difficulty that way. But let me tell you this also, and I don't know much about this, but I know a little bit about it. Having been in Seoul, South Korea myself, having worked with people like this for a summer, I got very sick on a second-hand basis just listening to all this. Can you imagine going through it? You don't just cross over the border and get well. I thought when I got back to America, I'd be okay. I wasn't. I wasn't. I was eventually healed. Where does this man stand right now in his mind? What does he see? What is he thinking about? What about family back there? You think this man's having a piece of cake life right now? Pray for Kim Tae-jin. Kim Tae-jin, your brother in the Lord. North Korea, number one of the worst places in the world. No, I don't go along with a movie saying that we're to blow this man up, but I do pray every day for God to remove Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un is hurting God's people. That's my only thing. He's hurting a whole nation, but nations are not my issue. God's nation is my issue, and yours too, brother and sister in the Lord. And we ask that God remove that man. Save him if God's able, but is Kim Jong-un willing? Save him. Save him, yeah. But if you won't save him, Lord, I always pray, get him out of there. Get him out of there. Don't let him hurt God's people anymore. Get that whole government out of there. Let that nation change. Bring it back to the Pyongyang of 100 years ago. Yeah, yesterday. Just yesterday and the days before, we were talking in this podcast about the original Pyongyang, how it was when God's Spirit fell upon that place and touched so many lives. What a wonderful place Pyongyang was. What an awful place it is today. Oh, and we're not going to point blame as to how it got that way. It got that way. That's what we know. It's awful. It's horrendous. And especially throughout the countryside outside of Pyongyang, the people are suffering. And when they go even a step further into one of these prisons, my goodness, life has ended. And for many of them, it does end. God bless Kim Tae-jin. He found a way out. Don't know how he did it, but he did it. That's not the only country in the world where there's suffering and brutal oppression of Christians. You can go to Syria, for example. It's ranked number 3. On the World Watch list. It continues to change, but there's still the reality of extreme violence and displacement. The latest United Nations figure shows that 3.25 million Syrians are refugees in the surrounding countries. Non-official figures are even higher. 1 million Christians are internally displaced persons. They call them IDPs. Estimates of Open Doors, based on contacts with church leaders inside Syria, are about 40% of the Christians have left Syria since the start of the civil war over 3 years ago. Depending on where new battles are taking place, new waves of refugees are reported. The United Nations recently announced it's reducing food support to the refugees and displaced because of lack of contributions of donors and donor countries. Open Doors is working with partners inside Syria to provide food packages, shelter, medicine, blankets, trauma counseling training, and training Syrian Christian leaders in leadership and relief work. Open Doors reports it is partnering with churches and other Christian organizations to help 9,000 families a month. Sounds like a lot, but as you can see, it's just that proverbial drop in the bucket. The gospel of Jesus Christ is also going out. An Open Doors worker in Syria says, "We hear church leaders saying that the churches are not empty. New people are coming to church, interested in the gospel, comforted by the message, and we hear of people coming to Christ." Now that's good news. Yeah, I couldn't help but thinking and how deeply touched I am to hear back in the North Korea thing. In this prison, he runs into a Christian. Folks, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. You can't stop the church. You squish us and we just spurt out more of us. There's no way that we will ever... Didn't Jesus say that? The gates of hell. And I believe North Korea is situated right next to the gate of hell. I'm sorry, from what I've heard, I can't imagine a place worse. And as I've said in other places, if you can imagine what North Korea is like now with the dictator that they have, imagine a world like that. If you can imagine the whole world like that, you have finally understood a little bit of what the tribulation will be, especially for believers in that day. Oh, there'll be normal life going on. There'll be good things and happy things going on for the world. There'll be a little pockets of prosperity like Pyongyang is today. But over the whole world, the tribulation, not the judgment. The judgment comes when Jesus comes, but a time of trouble like the world's never known, and a man in charge of it all, the Kim Jong-un of the last days. Well, I've spent my wad today in terms of time. I had some other things to share, but you know, I'm going to share those another time, God willing, because we come to you every day on this podcast. I do hope that you will subscribe to it. You go to the little orange button there in front of you, and just click on that button, and then when it opens up, you click on iTunes, and voila, you will have this podcast every day, Hackberry House, coming right to your computer or smartphone or whatever you do. Got lots of books out there that I'd like you to read, and one of them has to do with North Korea. It's the biggest book I've ever put together, and I wrote some of it, but a lot of it is from other sources, but it's all about North Korea and my watching of it for agonizing, painful years of my life. And my life was not painful, but the North Korea part of my life was, just going through. I think that contributed to the illness later also, culminating over in Seoul, Korea. But I want you to get this book. You can go to Sermon Audio and listen to lots of it, most of it. Or you can go to Amazon.com and find it there. You can go, there's a createspace.com. There's a lot of ways to find this book. You have to pay a little bit if you go to Amazon. But check that book out. And some of those articles are in ezine.com, E-Z-I-N-E, articles are there. And you can go to YouTube. I put a lot of North Korea articles on YouTube /TheProfessorEnglish. I'd like you to subscribe to my channel over there. Folks, I need to hear from you. Send me an email that you're listening or watching or reading and say something about it, and so that the people who are scrolling through these different websites will be able to see your comment and say, yes, I think I'll read that too. And if you're being blessed by this in any way, they also will receive a blessing. Send me an email, ask a question, or suggest a topic for study. My information is right there at the website for how to contact me. Tomorrow, we're going to look at something that I've put together over the last few days. Every once in a while, I'm going to interject some of my own personal things. Not just about everything I've ever written is online right now. But every once in a while, I still get stuff, all right? I've been dealing over the last couple of weeks with the whole Islam situation and the pagan connection between Islam, even modern Islam, and paganism, the connection. Just, you remember Rome, what Rome did, and what Rome is still doing, as in places like Chiapas, Mexico. There's that combination of paganism and Christianity that mixes together and excludes the born-again believer totally. Well, Islam is a concoction also of things. I've put a piece together, and we'll go over it over the next couple of days. I hope you'll tune in for that. God bless you today. Let's finish today with the same way we started over in Luke. Did you recognize that passage? Well, I lost my place here. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus is speaking and says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. Amen. God bless you.